You're listening to Simple Flight Aviation Radio with Al Waterloo and Mark Heppner on www.simpleflight.net.
Simple Flight Radio, ready for takeoff.
What do you think about flying? Is it a sport? A business? Is it easy or difficult? Is it boring or exciting? Alan Waterloo and Mark Heppner think it may be any of those things, but they like to make it simple. This is Simple Flight Radio, where Mark and Al talk about the many aspects of aviation and the amazing people doing amazing things to make this world a better place.
Where am I? I don't know where I am.
Al, wake up.
Ow! Wait, you just woke me up from my dream.
Well, yeah, you sounded like you were dreaming. I felt like I was in the basement. I said, what the heck was that?
I don't know. I was out. I didn't know if it was Sunday or not.
It is Sunday. I wouldn't be here if it... Well, actually, I would be here if it... Whatever day of the week it is. But where is here?
Well, we are at the PWK airport, and I was apparently napping in the corner.
Well, we had napping and in an echo chamber, evidently. We were in a cavernous FBO, signature flight support, I guess.
Exactly. I was in over at the crew room, the crew rest area, having a nice little nap there, and you woke me up.
But you know,
just in time for the show.
And yeah, well, that's what I am. I'm Mr. Timely, if nothing else. You know, this little mixing board, it really has a lot of power in it. And true to, it's a guy thing, right? You got to play with the toys.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. No, I think it's pretty awesome. And it's a neat little tool.
Yeah. So how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Mark?
Oh, you know, not only am I beside you, I'm beside myself.
So you got a twin or something like that?
No, I got a twin? No, I'm beside myself with excitement. I had... just an awesome aviation week. We'll talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
And Friday night, I couldn't even go to sleep knowing what the weekend was looking like. And that, of course, includes Simple Flight Radio Sunday nights at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Here in the Central Time Zone at Papa Whiskey Kilo. And thanks to Signature Flight Support for their hospitable nature and letting us use this wonderful room that overlooks the beautiful airport where we're seeing snow plows move back and forth over the runways.
I don't know if they're plowing snow or chipping ice.
They're chipping ice.
It's a pretty gross evening out here at the Executive Airport today, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. I was out here this morning and just before it started and we were talking about, oh, it's, you know, 7 degrees at 3,000 feet, 7 Celsius. And then boom, it hit, and it started getting colder. Got the freezing rain, the ice formed, and now it's starting to warm up again.
Yeah, no, it's kind of the parking lot walking into Signature today was kind of a sheet of ice.
Yeah, I was watching the hockey game on the TV here in the main area, and I thought, man, these guys don't know what we're dealing with.
Yeah, didn't you see me score a goal out there or something like that on that sheet?
I thought a goal was putting a puck in the net, but evidently a goal with you is falling on your butt.
Wow, I didn't know we were starting the Sunday night chuckle prematurely here. Wow.
You set me up. I got to take
below,
the shot.
That's below the belt. Yeah, no, it's a nice night. Every night, it's a great night out here at the Executive Airport at the Signature FBO. By the way, I don't know if you saw those things, floating around the floor, the stickers, and, it says vote for Signature.
Oh, yes, I did. I didn't see anything on the floor, but I saw things on the counter.
Yeah, well, actually, I was out in the one at Signature at the Denver Centennial Airport last week, and or this week.
They put things on the floor?
Yeah, they got stickers that say vote for Signature, so I don't know. I tweeted it, so.
Oh, good for you.
Vote for them.
I thought you meant like you were walking around and all their customers were on their hands and knees picking up pieces of paper that said vote for us. But stickers.
Yeah, there's stickers. Floor. All,
okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I don't know. I took a picture and... hopefully people vote for him. I don't know.
Yeah, well, we obviously love them very much. And again, one more time, we got to give a quick little shout out because they helped us so much last week was Atlantic Aviation over at Waukesha, Wisconsin, Uniform Echo Sierra. as they waived their fees for us as we brought in some Flying Club airplanes to get together for dinner on a Thursday night.
Yeah, that was outstanding. Outstanding. Yeah. I'm glad you made it up there. But,
yeah.
You know, I'm beside myself as well tonight.
I'm listening. Tell me more.
Well, you know, I'll give you two guesses, but you only need one.
Sunday Night Chuckle.
Yes! This is the moment around 8:05 every Sunday night. I get to be blindsided by a joke of yours, and it's
well,
it's
and awesome. The good thing is I never tell you what I'm going to do. Of course,
no, you don't.
I tell you what 90% of the time I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's funny anyway.
You know, I read a story about twins separated at birth,
like the twin bonanza.
No, nothing like the twin. Oh, by the way, oh no, that's right. I got to talk to Alex. I know a guy with a twin bonanza that wants to sell it. But anyway, there was a story years ago in a magazine. It had nothing to do with aviation. It talked about twins separated at birth and how they ended up in the same profession.
Yeah.
You know, firemen or medical personnel, they were wired to help people.
Yeah.
Right? You've heard that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I was thinking about that recently because there was a recent experience I heard about that someone told me about that, made me think that people in certain professions are just wired that way, and that's maybe how they get into the profession.
Yeah.
And I noticed that there was a harrowing experience that happened in the car. There were three guys in the car.
Uh-huh.
It was a pilot, there was a doctor, and an engineer. And the pilot's driving, which makes perfect sense,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you always want the pilot to be pilot in command.
Exactly.
But driver at one point, they came to this steep hill. It was a very steep hill. Right? They're at the top of the hill and they start going down and guess what the driver, the pilot, discovers?
I don't know.
No brakes.
Oh!
Right? Thank you.
Bummer.
You said we got one person here that understood that. So the car begins to accelerate out of control, right? It's just hurtling down this very, very, very steep hill. And so the pilot being a person of action, you know, starts first going through the checklist, pumping the brakes, that's not helping.
I would usually switch fuel tanks.
Well, yeah, that's not an option in his Honda Accord, but he tries to use the emergency brake, you know, which maybe helps a little bit, then downshifts the gears, runs the tires up against the curbs, and just trying everything to eventually bring the car to a stop, and he maintains control is a cool thing, always in control, doing all these things, and eventually gets down to the bottom of the hill. And while it was a harrowing experience, and these guys were somewhat shaken, they get out of the car, they're okay.
Yeah.
And it was at that point that it really became clear to me because as they got out, they remained composed and they assessed the situation.
Yeah.
So the first guy to speak up was the engineer and true to form, he says, you know what? Let's try and fix the car. I'm going to get underneath the car and fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the doctor says, no, I think we should get someone more qualified. Let's call in a specialist to fix the car.
Uh huh.
And then the pilot said, you know what? Why don't we just get back in and see if it happens again?
<That's>, I don't know. I can't. Yeah, I can't stop laughing.
That's just like the Santa Claus one. You like that? Good.
Yeah. No, this. Oh man. So I will put. I'll put a little disclaimer. Sorry for all. You know, for those of you who listen to the podcast later, for the 30 seconds of laughing there. But, that's awesome. That's so true, though.
Yeah. I couldn't have been right. Let's try that one again.
Exactly. No, that's not. Let's just see if it works again.
It isn't true, yeah.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
Actually, certain people I know probably would say that. I think it's not pilots in general, but certain pilots over others, and we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I had a great week in aviation this last week.
Yep.
I had a King Air trip out west. I flew to Dallas, and then out to Albuquerque and Denver.
Okay, you had me scared then. Normally when you say west and Dallas, don't usually, because I think Dallas is kind of south.
Well, it is south, and then it's like, it's maybe like, 2 or 3 degrees west, maybe? I don't know.
Alright. Yeah. I'll work with you on this.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for giving me the benefit of the doubt on that. I appreciate it.
See, you should fly north up and then you'd know. That was a track up answer.
Yeah. You are on fire tonight.
Oh man, yeah.
Man!
I'm not going to bed
down
tonight.
The forest. burning down the forest tonight. Unbelievable.
You're a mass murderer. You're killing me.
No. You're killing me, Smalls. Hey, you just got a tweet saying that was a funny joke and true.
Let's just see
if it happens again.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Exactly. Well, I'm sure I'll be laughing again next week. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to make sure of that. Unless I'm in Kansas City.
It's like
City.
Your personal vendetta.
Yeah, no, it's a goal of mine to start us off on the right foot.
Absolutely. Well, so what about your week in aviation?
I guess I mentioned I couldn't go to sleep Friday night because I was so excited about Saturday. And we started off Saturday. We're doing a flyout. It was one of those things that, you know, you do the Facebook thing, and I'm starting to be better at that. And all of a sudden we say, hey, let's go to Janesville. Juliet Victor Lima, for those of you not in the Midwest.
Yep.
And they have a restaurant. Matter of fact, it's so funny because when I got my license in the 1976, we used to go to Janesville to eat. And I was in Iowa City then. So it's different restaurant and it's under construction now, but it's always kind of been the standard. And so people were saying, let's go there. And then others said, yeah, we'll go. And then we'll go and we'll go. And since we had a multi-club flying club cancellation, what was it, 2-3 weeks ago?
We went up to Madison.
We went to Madison. Everyone just kind of said they're going to show up. And we got there, and oh my goodness, there were, I took some notes here, like 20 airplanes, 10 clubs, between 40 and 50 people. Matter of fact, there were two guys from Rockford said, what the heck's going on here? We just came to Janesville as part of the, I think it's called Black Hawk Flying Club.
Yeah.
So they got stickers that said, hi, my name is whatever, and they became part of it and signed up, and it was just a great event. We even saw Adam Smith of AOPA had showed up as well.
That was pretty cool. I thought that it turned out incredibly well. I was there, you know, and I didn't even eat breakfast because I was just going around talking to everybody. I was having a great time.
Oh, and then to walk on the ramp. It was cold, but I don't know, just the adrenaline just kept everyone warm, and I left. We got there at 9. I left probably around noon, and there were still people hanging around. Actually, guys from Aurora Airport were there.
Yeah.
Aurora, Illinois, Alpha Romeo Romeo.
Hey, know what? Those guys from Aurora, they actually came up to you and I, and they said, hey, we saw you in that. We recognize you from the Donka Shane.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, that's funny. I don't know if everyone knows what Al's talking about, but we did a song at the end of last week's show, and Al posted it. How embarrassing for me.
Hey, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I guess you are now that I think about it.
Yeah, I'll post it on Twitter if you haven't seen it yet. It was it's kind of a little thank you for everybody that...
For our guests and for our listeners and...
Watches.
And sometimes, let's just say Al and I have fun doing this show.
Yeah, exactly.
But, so that was exciting. Then we got back from the... flyout, actually, and then my afternoon was even more flying, but I think I'm going to wait till hangar talk to go into that.
Yeah.
Okay, because that was a pretty exciting afternoon for me as well in a positive way.
Right.
But, you know, we've been tweeting about and people have been asking us, hey, I hear you guys are going to make a pretty exciting announcement on tonight's show. And no, it's not that we're canceling the show.
No. We've been moved to daytime.
Yeah, right. No, yes. No. It's interesting. This radio show didn't get started because of flying clubs, right?
No.
It got started because we see a lot of positive energy and a lot of positive potential in general aviation. And we set out to find amazing people doing amazing things in aviation, and certainly tonight's not going to be any different. But what has come is we met people like Adam Smith of AOPA, and as we saw the social aspect of our own flying club, Leading Edge Flying Club at Papa Whiskey Kilo, explode, you know, we thought there's really something here. And so a couple of other members contacted you and me, and the four of us have kind of gotten together, and we started looking at scholarships. Scholarships have been an exciting part of aviation to help usually a young person go out and get their license. They get money and they file through.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to do, of course, is not just add one more pilot. We're trying to grow the pilot population, actually reverse the declining pilot population.
Right. Can I touch on something?
Please. I'm just rambling along here. That's a long takeoff roll.
Woo! Check density altitude. So they had a...
full power.
Yeah. They had a... going up on that fact of current aviation scholarships, I think a lot of them don't... You know, they affect one pilot. right?
You know, I was trying to say that, but I didn't do it so eloquently. You're exactly right.
Yeah, they affect one pilot. You give them a certain amount of money. Let's use $5,000 to go get an advanced rating or something like that. But, you know, so, but I think that's really great. And, those scholarships are good. But, you know, I think we have a little reflection on how can we give a scholarship? Or how could there be a scholarship that does more?
Does more than one pilot and does more than one pilot at one time. How do you plant a seed that has immediate impact of some significance and then it's recreating that significance 50 years down the road?
Right.
Right? And so these guys that came to us and we four of us sat down said very commonsensically, why don't we start flying clubs? Why don't we get sponsors and money and services and products and consulting help and have a scholarship to launch a flying club that will thrive for years and years to come, producing lots of happy pilots, whether it's in a professional career or just general aviation leisure flying.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, I'm really excited about this. You
yeah.
know?
Oh, I am too. I think a lot of us are.
Oh, absolutely. And I think to be able to have a scholarship that affects and as long affects multiple pilots that don't even know that they want to be pilots already. You know,
exactly. And it's going to be so all-encompassing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's a long – you know, if you look at some of these flying clubs, they've been around for 50, 60, you know, some years.
Yeah, just look up at the Waukegan Uniform Gulf November. They have the stick and rudder. That's from the 40s.
Yeah.
Right? So that's significant. That's long term, and they're not alone.
Yeah, absolutely. Whoa!
Am I dreaming?
Is that Siri? Who is that? I don't know.
Yeah, that's I think your co-pilot.
Yeah. but yeah. So I don't know. I think that's it's really exciting to be able to announce a scholarship that we're going to
right. The scholarship is a little bit more specifically, and there's still some things to be worked out, but we're announcing it here first. And over the next few days, it's going to make it to the web, and the press release will be coming out. But it's a set of products and services, and we have already received sponsorship from names people know, like Sporty's Pilot Shop.
Yep.
Right? They'll be donating some things. Cirrus Aircraft.
Yep.
Our friends here at Signature Flight Sport are going to be donating fuel.
Yeah, can you believe that?
Right? And let's not forget our buddies at David Clark. They're going to be donating headsets. And there's going to be other major suppliers. We're just working out a few of the little T's and C's, if you will, and knock it down. And then from a services perspective, the four of us that got together are going to be, as under the name of Ground Effect Advisors, are going to be providing no-charge consulting services to help these clubs get off the ground based on what we've learned over the last 6 years, actually 6+ years here, and not only what our own experience is, but how we've talked to others and learned some of the mistakes we've all made and some of the things we've done well, and just to be kind of the co-pilot to those that are going to be starting these clubs.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really neat. I think there's a lot of projects out there that you can get all the things organized and documents needed to start a club. But, you know, we got to realize that flying clubs are wonderful things, but, you know, they're volunteer-based usually, you know, it's hard to get it off the ground. You know, everybody wants to start one. So that's kind of what we're here to help, you know.
Exactly. We made a lot of mistakes, and we've done a lot of things right, as any organization has done in the past, and we just want to share that and be a sounding board and share the documents we've built and
exactly.
You know, all those things that can help, we'll call it not just a ease of use, but a speed of use.
Right.
Right? So make it easy, but make it quick so that they can come up and start enjoying the benefits of the flying club in whatever community they live.
Absolutely.
So stay tuned. We're going to be announcing, you know, the website, and we're going to be announcing the scholarship form, and people will apply, and we'll pick one out of, I think we'll... what is it, 10 interviews? We'll take the 10 of the submissions.
Yep.
And then pick one to work with, and then we'll see where it goes from there. But we're very optimistic and very excited to take this on, and it's going to be cool.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to have it happen. And, you know, I don't know. I just, it's a feel good feeling. You know what I mean? And, is that a double feel good?
Yeah, it's
feeling?
An FGF.
I don't know.
Feel good feeling.
Yeah, no, but
what is it? FGF, Foxtrot, Golf, Foxtrot. We have a newbie in the room with us tonight, but she's got it nailed.
Yeah.
Gave me the A through Z in like no time flat.
Aviation, the radio alphabet.
The phonetic alphabet, yeah, I think is what they call it.
Well, I call it the radio alphabet.
There you go.
So I don't know if that's a, yeah, but whatever. I'm off in my own la-la land.
Squirrel.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But anyway, it's gonna be exciting to send out some details on the scholarship. This is a question for the listeners on Twitter right now. If you were to start a flying club, where would you start it?
I mean, when you say where, what airport?
Yeah, airport would you, if you were to start a flying club, where would you start a flying club right now?
If you've got one that you've been thinking of starting in your community, we'd love to hear from you, and let's tweet us out here and we can give you a little PR, a little pub.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. No, it'd be outstanding. And hey, we actually have someone that wants to be a partner in it. Heading 370 just sent a tweet and saying that they'd love to donate and help sponsor.
Terrific.
The scholarship.
We'll be in touch with Heading 370.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, it's cool.
Get us before. We've already got the press release just kind of waiting to go, but maybe we can make a few edits on it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
No, it's exciting. We understand people want to get on, and I think it's great. You know, the more the merrier. This is not about holding things in or, you know, just trying to get the praise, if you will, of a few. Let's spread it out and let's let the industry take us to new places.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, more details to follow, as you said. But yeah. Anyway, we've got a great show this evening. Can't get too far off track with that, but I think we have an outstanding show this evening.
As always.
Somebody that's pretty familiar, in the Twitter world, blogging world, and iOS aviation app world is coming on tonight. That's Mr. Pat Flanagan.
But this isn't the Pat from Las Vegas.
No, this is not, this is
from the other coast.
Yeah. This is from the other coast.
Exactly. You know, I'm going to Vegas tomorrow.
Yeah. And so,
and I'm going to try and meet up with your imaginary friend because I don't believe he exists.
Yeah. Well,
everyone knows Pat. Pat?
Yeah. Except you. It's just a big, hoax.
Yeah. Right. Well, I'm going to be with my ghost pilot then. I hope to get some time. I doubt that we will because I'm going to be pretty busy the next 3 days, but.
Yeah.
I do want to see if I can't grab a little something with your imaginary friend Pat.
Okay.
Alrighty then.
Yep. All right.
It's a running gag, folks.
All right. Well, I guess, on that note, moving on.
Wait, there was one other thing that I wanted to mention before we do that, and I'm trying to remember what it was. It was with the Flying Club event in Janesville. I forgot to mention how many states. We thought, hey, it's near the border of Wisconsin, Illinois, but we had folks flying in from Iowa.
Yeah, it was
specifically to be part of it.
Yeah, it was a tri-state multi-club flyout.
TSMSFO.
Yep, exactly.
Mr. Acronym here.
Yeah, this is. But for any of you, those of you out there who don't know, Mark thinks in acronyms. So.
So you can, I always
you could,
have.
You
I
could,
don't know why.
You could say the sing the national anthem, and then he'll give you the acronym for the whole thing. It's great.
Oh, wait. Oh, no, I won't.
Yeah. Anyway, it's time to get Pat on the line. Let's get Pat on the line here and kind of see what he's up to. He's doing some really cool things in aviation.
This is different Pat. Again, this is not Pat from Las Vegas.
No, this is Pat.
Is Pat from Connecticut.
Pat
or
Flanagan.
Somewhere out east.
Yeah, Pat Flanagan from aviationchatter.com. Let's see here.
So while you go ahead and do that, I wanted to also talk about some things we want you to stick around for the rest of the show because
there we go.
Wait.
A little technical difficulties.
Yeah, like speaking over me. Stick around for Hangar Talk and we'll get into that other stuff later.
Yeah. Pat!
Hi, how's it going?
Hey, what's going on?
He's got better sound quality than us.
Yeah,
what's with that? He should be the host.
I have a remarkably complicated setup on my end. That's all that's going on here.
Yeah. A lot of people say that about me, but it has nothing to do with the equipment. But
I saw the wires in that picture you posted.
Yeah, this is
I don't know where they live, though.
Anyone that wants to donate wire management, we can never see the table because of all the wires that we just throw around here.
You need twisty ties, my friend.
We do, lots but then we need the twisty ties. Exactly. Or a table with lots of holes in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can go underneath the table.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, anyway, Pat, thanks for coming on the show tonight. It's great to have you.
Well, cool. Thanks. It's good to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so you run a website, aviationchatter.com. And, it's a pretty cool website, and, it's kind of a, you do some cool things, kind of like a mix of a blog and pilot reviews, and you've got a link to, your aviation app for, iOS, Apple products and all that. And, I think that's pretty cool. So you want to tell us a little bit about it and introduce it to the listeners?
Yeah, sure. Aviationchatter.com. It's a project that I started, I want to say early 2009 or so.
Nice.
When, it kind of grew from me being a newly minted airline pilot with a regional, having a lot of time off and really wanting to get back into general aviation.
Yeah.
So I put this little project back together just to kind of keep my feet wet and jump back into GA and get my mind in that state of mind. Because it really is a different world completely when you're doing the jet thing versus little airplanes.
Well, wait a minute. If you're realizing the dream of getting with the airlines and you just started with the regional as an FO, you immediately wanted to get back into GA?
Immediately. I tell you what, the grass is always greener, always, on the other side. But also, general aviation is just so fun. You know, it's not something you have to do. It's something you really want to do. You go out there and it's, the sky's the limit, literally. I mean, if I want to go left, I go left. If I want to go to Martha's Vineyard, I go to Martha's Vineyard. That's what's so fun about general aviation.
That's very true. You know, if you want to go left, you go left. I think that could be like a tagline.
If you want to go left, you go left.
Yeah.
If
you can't do right, that in airlines, right?
No, you can't.
Not often. Yeah. No.
No.
Yeah. Except Pat's up there all the time. I'm declaring an emergency. Why? I just want to turn left.
Exactly.
Yeah. I just want to go to Janesville for the multi-club flyout.
I want to do a flyby.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Just want to go to the fly-in, you know.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you look out the right side, there's like 50 little airplanes there.
And I highly recommend the pancakes. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that people don't realize is, you know, we'll be taxiing by and I look out the window and I see like a Cessna 150 or something. And they're both the flight instructor and the student pilot. They're looking at us like, oh, you know, one day that's going to be me. And meanwhile, my captain and I are always looking at the 150 thing. Oh man, if only that could be us.
Exactly. Exactly. You know what? You know, it's funny because I'm always saying, as a professional pilot, you file IFR everywhere. And the airlines, it's IFR all the time.
Right.
And, it's just so nice to go VFR and not talk to a single person on the radio. You know, turn the radio off and do that, you know, but, when a newly minted,
it's a different perspective than us GA guys. Although I will say, you know, I've had my instrument rating for a few years now and I love filing, but I think I've told you before, when I fly with my wife, she does not like to go into the clouds. And so many times I'll just go VFR. I usually get flight following, but we basically serpentine around the clouds. So, you know, the trip gets to like 15 minutes added on, but I want to make sure I don't go in the clouds because it makes her nervous.
Oh, so, okay. I thought it was the bumps that might be driving her crazy.
We could give her the benefit of the doubt. She just doesn't like being able to see out the front. That's why she loves the airline. She says, I can look out the side and figure that somebody's seeing straight ahead up in the cockpit.
Yeah.
But that's my wife, and she's listening too, so I'll stop right there.
Exactly. I like it.
So anyway, I think I interrupted you. Tell us a little bit more what started the site, aviationchatter.com in 2009 and, you know, where it's going, but give us a little history.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the history just sort of began with me kind of dabbling around trying to write articles that would be helpful to private pilots. In fact, the tagline, which is brand new, I just christened it a little while ago, is professional skills for private pilots. And that's kind of the point. That's kind of the focus of the site now is I'm looking at all this stuff that I've learned over the years, not because some flight instructor taught me, not because it's on the knowledge test, but because I've just been here doing this stuff for a long time, and I've absorbed information through, you know, a captain told me this, or I made a bad call here, and all this sort of stuff. So I try to write down those experiences. I turn it into a sort of simple little lesson and share that information with other people. Like the latest one up there, you know, what's in a name? Aircraft engine names explained. No one told me that all those little mysterious letters and stuff on a piston engine meant anything. You know, an IO360. I thought that's just was the convention. No, it's I for fuel injected, O for horizontally opposed, 360 cubic inches. It tells you everything about the engine. You don't have to remember anything.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's a cool thing. It's funny because I actually met when I do checkouts for at our flying club, I do that and I pull it out and actually you know, it's really neat. You start putting all the random letters and make sense out of them.
Yeah.
And you sit there in front with the cowling off the airplane, put it together. It's like, holy cow, this is awesome. And then I would say it totally increases the technical knowledge and systems knowledge for whoever's getting checked out. That's awesome.
Oh, you bet. Absolutely. And it just makes it so much easier because you don't have this convoluted mess that you have to remember. You can just look at it. The engine tells you what it does.
Yeah, exactly.
It spins.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it spins. Yeah. It lets you, it tells you exactly what it's going to do for you. So.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. Go ahead, Pat.
Oh, no, I was just agreeing with you. Yeah, but I mean, that's sort of the gist of it. And I share all sorts of information about that, but I've gone, I guess I've gone off topic, but you know what? It's a blog. It's my blog. I can do whatever I want with it. And, I've gone on to do, a series of reviews. A lot of people who do iPad, and iPhone apps have sent me their products or, you know, little free download sort of things. And I've done lots of reviews, including, the Pilot Pro logbook, the good guys at Log 10 have sent me that. And I've done reviews on that. And I've got to give a huge shout out to, Arion, Jabiru, and Cessna, who actually had me at all their facilities.
Cool.
And let me go fly their airplanes and write reviews on the airplanes like a real flying magazine writer, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm jealous.
So you're the new Richard Collins coming up, in the
40 RC
in my P210.
P210.
Yeah.
I like it. That's pretty cool. So what's kind of been your most, memorable, journey and, or review, if you will?
You know, I think the most memorable thing was heading out. That's a tough one. You know, I went to AOPA Summit a couple years ago when it was in Hartford, Connecticut. I had a blast at that event. That's the first time I did an actual like event coverage. And I was like, I had a press pass and I was a real journalist over there doing my thing. That was wonderful because I met a lot of really great people. I got to meet Max Trescott, who's another great blogger, writer, flight instructor. You know, we spent a little bit of time chatting, but the most memorable experience there was actually spending a lot of time just hanging out and talking with John and Martha King.
Nice.
Who are icons in aviation.
And also going to be a guest on our show here probably next month.
Oh, you guys are going to love them.
Yeah.
I already love them.
Exactly the way they are on their videos. They're so cool.
You know what? I have to admit, I don't know everyone agrees with me, but I love John's humor.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, I love it.
Absolutely.
Can you change the center of lift? Not without a hacksaw.
Maybe we can have him do a Sunday night chuckle.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I'll give it up for 1 week.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that guy's jokes, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be perfect. Well, yeah, sorry.
I'll never.
Oh, go ahead.
We're so excited here. We're so giddy.
Yeah. Sorry. Anyway, so that sounds like it was really fun to be out there and, and check in with the AOPA Summit. Did you make it out to the summit this year at Palm Springs?
No, I didn't. Things were kind of up in the air with my schedule at work and everything. And it's, you know, sometimes it's going to work, sometimes it doesn't. And this year I just struck out on every event. I didn't go to Oshkosh. I didn't go to Sun and Fun. I didn't go to Summit. So here I sit, but that's all right.
Hey, we got to make I'm still developing my 2013 pilot resolutions. So we'll have to, get like a Twitter bandwagon going to Oshkosh and Sun and Fun and things like that this year. And we'll let our presence be known.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. Yeah. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Get new people for your Simple Flight Flying Club scholarship. By the way, awesome news, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, we're pretty excited. Well, obviously, we're excited about it. I'm glad you think so as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be. Yeah. It should be really good. There's a couple tweets coming in about that.
That's cool.
Seem to be pretty excited already.
So, Pat, I love your tagline, professional skills for the private pilot. You know, I have to admit, I aspire to be very professional, even though we're out there for fun. And, you know, I watch the guys that fly for a living and how they brief the taxi and brief the takeoff and all pretty standard stuff, right? Yet I didn't always do it.
It's a discipline.
It's a discipline, right?
It is.
And so I'm excited that you're getting into that because I think there's so much that we can learn and hopefully have some kind of positive impact on the accident rate, which is all too often something that could have been avoided.
Well, yeah, that's a really good point you bring up over there. And it's true that the safest form of flying or safest form of travel is flying, and especially airline flying. And that's, I think for a couple of reasons. We have such strict, rules, regulations, oversight over a whole industry, as well as continuous recurrent training. You know, there's check airmen's doing line checks, FAA guys sitting in your jump seat. I mean, you've got to do your job, very professionally, very correctly, just the right way. And it really does. It might seem corny, you know, when you first step into all this sort of standardized environment, there's only one way to fly the plane, and that's the company way, but it does improve safety. It's just the way it is. And it's funny because my girlfriend was actually flying with me, about a month ago. We were in a little Cessna just having fun.
Nice.
And she took a video of me. And I got such a kick out of watching this video because I know how I used to fly in the Piper Warrior 10 years ago, to kind of jump in, you work your way through the checklist and go. And I'm watching and I'm so like military precise, and super serious. I mean, it looked like I was a military commander in charge of this 172.
And he never left the pattern.
Yeah,
exactly. I think we went 5 miles from the airport, circled around, and came back. That's it. But that's just, it's this discipline I learned from the professional flying environment that I've absorbed into my ordinary flow. And it's true. There are certain things that I wouldn't bat an eye at, and now they make me a little uncomfortable. You know, like the concept of a stabilized approach. If my descent rate is higher than 1,000 foot a minute, on final approach, I feel a little uncomfortable because that's not what we do in the airlines.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
You know, there's, I really like this concept. I think that, and I try to transmit some of that in, you know, my own flight training, and all that, because I think there's a real need. People in general aviation want to fly this way. From what I've, you know, from what
I think
I've
a lot do. You know, yeah. There's some that don't, and that's not right or wrong. You know, it's just, personally, like I say, I'd like just to be, I enjoy being more professional since I'll never be a professional pilot.
Well, yeah,
I think it's good to be aware of what sort of considerations are there for the professional pilot and why those considerations are there. And then as a GA kind of guy, you can kind of pick and choose what makes sense to you.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, what are some of the things that you think, general aviation could really kind of latch on to as far as like professional habits?
You know, funny you should ask, because that kind of segues into what turned into perhaps my most controversial post on aviationchatter.com.
Nice.
And that was supposed to be just a very simple flying tip. One thing that we do in the airlines, we used to do this at my charter company I used to work for. It's kind of a standard pro pilot thing. You use your landing light as a reminder as to whether or not you are cleared for takeoff or cleared for landing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You turn the taxi light on for if you're cleared for the approach, and if you're clear to land, you turn the landing light on.
Exactly. And then while you're on final approach, you say, oh, was I cleared to land? And you look at your switch, it's on. So the answer is yes. You know for a fact.
I just learned something new.
Exactly.
I didn't know you guys did that.
Yeah. It was a big, that was a pretty big thing. And if, you know, people would get all bent, or, well, captains or, you know, I would even get bent out of shape if the lights weren't, you know, it's kind of like the universal language of,
sure.
Clear for the approach, clear to land.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the controllers are aware of that too. If they see your lights come on, they know you got the message, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know what? That's a cool thing. So, you know, for listeners out there who are going by, driving by a big airport or something like that, I think that some of the most noticeable things are like MD-80s, you know, where they've got the wingtip lights. So if you see a MD-80 on approach into a busy airport, and you see just the wingtip lights, he hasn't been cleared to land yet. And then, if all of a sudden you see the nose landing light come on, boom, they just got their landing.
Wait a minute. I'm trying to think because we look to the east here as, we have generally a long line of incoming to O'Hare. And I see a light. So what you're saying is I am seeing miles and miles and miles of wingtip lights and only a few nose wheel lights. I'm now going to watch for that.
Yep.
I did not know that.
Take a look.
I will. I love that. You could see the glide path going all the way out over Lake Michigan as these guys come in at night.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
It's awesome.
I'm going to wait. Let me write this down.
Yeah.
I learned something. Okay, go ahead.
Yay.
Yes. So how was this post controversial?
Apparently it was controversial because of, and you guys, all you CFIs who are listening, you've heard this one before, because of a law of primacy. And, I got a whole lot of stuff, especially an email, a lot of flack, because my flight instructor said you turn the landing light on 5 miles out from an airport. And then my flight instructor says you turn it on 10 miles out. And it was just all sorts of stuff. And I kind of had to say, you know, oh, hey, guys, it's just what we do. I'm just making a suggestion.
Right. Yeah.
It's fine.
Exactly.
Yeah, we use it sometimes in congested areas. If you want to be seen, it's, let's say, hazy.
Exactly.
Maybe it's marginal and, you know, a lot of VFR pilots are out there. I just want to be seen by them. That's all.
Yeah. In fact, at the airline, we go into a couple, you know, it's a regional airline. So I go from a big, busy airport to a small airport. And I use that stuff quite a lot, especially when I go in the summertime to a place like Nantucket or Martha's Vineyard. You know, even though those two places are towered, there's so much GA traffic over there. Some of them aren't talking. Some of them are not. I'm not going to say dangerous, but you got to be on your toes and make sure that you see them and they see you. And keep your distance, Chewie, but don't look like you're trying to keep your distance.
Yeah, exactly.
Star Wars.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got it. I know that. Actually, we've got a guy in our club, Lubaka.
Yeah, we do. Yeah,
so
that's just a Spark awesome. Real name.
Yeah.
Lubaka. Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, another thing that I always try to transmit to GA pilots, and you know, I don't think flows are really ever taught.
You are so right.
In primary training, and flows are so efficient. And I find myself now going back to checklists and do a step by step checklist, and I can't get through it without skipping things because I'm just like so. You know, it's hard to. You know, did I put my thumb here? Is that where I left off, or did I already do that item? You know, and all that.
Yeah.
So to do flows, I think it's actually a very, very safe way of flying.
You know, I think. Go ahead, Pat, please.
Well, yeah, I think so too. That's the sort of thing that again, I was never trained, and I remember the first time I ever saw a flow. I was at my home airport. I was actually very young, probably.
You are very young. 16. Don't do this to me.
Even younger. I was probably 16. My first flight instructor at the time was a captain on a Falcon. And I won't say the company because he probably wasn't allowed to do this. But he had me and a couple other guys come on as they repoed the airplane. And I got to sit in the jump seat during this. So I'm sitting first time ever in a jet. I'm in the jump seat and I'm watching these guys do something completely alien to me, which is a checklist flow.
Yep.
And, you know, the professional pilots out there know what I'm talking about. A flow is this sort of thing where you're going to proceed through the checklist in a logical pattern. You're going to get everything done by memory. Think of it like muscle memory. Through all these switches, then you pick up the checklist, you look at it, and you read item by item in a challenge response. You know, landing light, off, you know, this is done, that is done. You verify every item, but it's already been accomplished. It's super efficient, super safe, so long as you do follow up with your checklist.
Exactly. And it's a nice thing. I think it allows you to go through everything a lot quicker, a lot safer. You know, it's kind of like the muscle memory, I guess. And, you know, to kind of, explain a little bit more about flows, for those who are having a little, you know, to say, what exactly is it? But it's like doing a muscle memory checklist. So, you know, your after landing checklist, let's say, the first thing you probably do is raise your flaps, and then you go turn your fuel pump off or your landing lights and things like that, reset your trim. So you do that every single time, and then, boom, as you said, Pat, you follow up by your paper.
You create a habit.
Yeah, exactly.
But it sounds like you do it twice then.
Yeah, you do.
In a way, you do. Yeah, because you're always verifying with that checklist. You know, did I do this? Yes, I did.
See, and it's certainly different, but I know, like when I fly the SR-22, I know the checklist by heart, but I do a flow. And it's so easy because there's just not that many switches. I just do a flow that I touch everything. And it's make sure whatever's there is in the right position, right setting, whatever. And there's just not that many things to touch. Now I'm starting to fly a Bonanza. It's got a lot more, and I'm trying to find a logical, I mean, you can find it, but there's just so many more switches, buttons, dials, things in different places. It's harder for me to get the flow down. I will, but yeah. As long as you're touching everything, you're going to put it in the right place.
Yeah, exactly. I got a question for everybody out on Twitter right now. Just wondering if anybody on Twitter uses flows, flow checklists in a general aviation.
She does
airplane.
Those, the insurance commercials, right? Flow?
Oh, it's Progressive, isn't it?
Oh, you're right. Yeah, it is Progressive. Yes. Obviously, that commercial isn't working that well.
You know your insurance companies.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, so if anybody uses a flow checklist in a general aviation airplane, let us know on Twitter, hashtag it with a simple flight, and let us know what airplane it is, too. And see if
I'd be curious to know how your flow goes, too. Like, if you're in a 172, what's the typical before start flow look like for you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, let us know. Listeners, please tweet in, hashtag Simple Flight.
Yeah. You know, another cool thing about flows is that there's triggers, right? You know, there's so it's a trigger to do something. So if you were cleared for takeoff, you hear the word clear for takeoff, that's a trigger to do a flow. Or, if you're in an airplane where you can go into the flight levels, usually, going up to 10,000 feet or going through 18,000 feet, you know, in either direction, that's usually a trigger to do a particular flow or after some type of, you know, aircraft event such as like starting an engine. You know, it's cool because, all these different triggers, you really solidify good habits, in a particular airplane.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Like I say, it's just discipline and a commitment to doing that. I just think that a lot of people, we learn from our CFIs, and now I'm referencing general aviation from a single engine, four seat, you know, Part 91 basis. Again, it's for fun. You go in, you're safe, you do the pre-flight, you take off. But something about making a statement like, you know, okay, I'm doing a normal takeoff, up to 500 feet. If I lose an engine, if I can land, great. 30 degrees left or right if I can't. Just because then if it happens, you've just done the checklist you have to go through.
Right.
And I feel like I'm more on top of the game. Hopefully I'll never have to do any of that stuff, but.
You hit it right on the head. In fact, very frequently before I take off, I mentally, it's just a subconscious sort of thing. I just go through the whole profile for a single engine failure, in my plane for work. You know, there's a specific thing. It's like a play. You know, we just practice it. Osreg, gear up, speed mode, bug P2, heading mode, half bank, autopilot on. What's the problem? That's actually in the flow. You say, what's the problem? And then we'll go on through the process of resolving it through the checklist, but everything's under control. The plane is flying at that point.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's cool.
You know, and you got to make it so that it's, if it does happen to you, and you know, knock on wood, hopefully it doesn't ever, but if it does happen, it's just, it's like nothing, even happen. You were expecting it. You were ready for it. It was just like, oh, we're doing this profile today. All right, fine.
Yeah. Like you say, hopefully not. I even do, well, I won't say for my frequent passengers, but I do flight briefings. And I still, just like the airlines, I say, in the unlikely event of an upside down landing, you know, the hammer is in the thing here and they break the windows. I always say unlikely event. Because I don't want them to get scared and covering all the things that can go wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, there's a reason that they use that. In the unlikely event.
Yeah, right.
I think it was Mark earlier. You were talking about almost doing it like a briefing. That brings up another really good pro skill for private pilots, which is doing an actual briefing. And I know it's on a lot of private pilot, you know, or small plane checklists to do like a takeoff briefing sort of thing. But especially when you move into the IFR world, there's a lot to be said about briefing. Even if you're single pilot, briefing yourself on what you're going to do. That can be briefing the approach, briefing the takeoff, but also one thing that I notice a lot of GA guys who aren't comfortable or aren't familiar going to really busy airports with lots of taxiways is briefing themselves and planning ahead for the taxi out and also the taxi in from the runway. You should have an idea what you're going to get.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's something that pays dividends in my opinion.
Oh, so much.
You know, if let's say, yeah, exactly. You know, let's take a class C airport that's big. Oh, let's take Midway Airport.
Oh my God, that's a disaster.
Yeah, it kind of is, you know, but it's an airport that, you know, that there's a real possibility as a GA pilot that you're going to be flying into. So briefing, you know, how to get to and from the runway to your parking spot is huge, and it pays dividends, in my opinion. Just, you know, not only on how to get to and from, but also it builds your confidence a little bit, you know, puts your nerves at ease, because going into a big airport like that, or even, you know, the last thing you want to do is be rattled before you go and take off of, you know, oh man, I screwed up and I got taxied all over the place and the guy was yelling at me on the radio. That's no way to enter a flight, you know?
Right. Right.
Well, it even goes beyond that. A lot of times you'll land on a runway, there are taxiways all over, left and right. So the question is, which way do I turn off? Because the controller isn't necessarily going to be able to get on the mic and tell you turn right next taxiway. You should have some idea of what the best way is to leave that runway and start on your journey to wherever it is that the FBO is located.
Exactly. Exactly. Hey, real quick, we got somebody tweeted in, and they that tweeted in said, does a GUMPS check count for a flow?
I think so.
Oh, absolutely. I would say so. It's kind of like an acronym, and you do it's an acronym checklist, but you end up, it points you in the exact direction of where you go.
Yeah.
You know, and how to
absolutely.
Do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I would definitely agree with that. I think another thing that I really would like to transmit to IFR pilots and even VFR pilots is holding fuel. This is something that's very, very near and dear to my heart, because I ended up having to declare a fuel emergency because of, you know, holding fuel, or commonly referred to as bingo fuel. But,
and this is while you were at the airline.
Yeah, exactly. But, Pat, you have an app, called Hold Here that teaches one holds, but I think there's some incredible value on teaching, what holding fuel actually is.
So. I completely agree with you. That's one of those things that I was never taught. Now, I don't think flight instructors during the instrument training period really touch on this. It's not a required piece of knowledge. We don't test on it. But it is absolutely critical. So here's the situation. You know, all your IFR pilots, and even everybody else, you got some idea of what a holding pattern is. You're given a holding pattern, and the question is, okay, what should you be thinking about? And I know everybody out there is thinking, okay, what is my holding pattern entry? Yeah, that's important. But there's more involved in that. You need to know what your entry is. but you also need to know how long can I hold? Because yeah, the controller is going to give you an EFC, an expect further clearance time. It might be 20 minutes from now, something like that. That doesn't necessarily mean that you've got enough fuel to safely hold until that EFC time and then continue on to shoot the approach, then continue to the alternate, and then have some reserve left over just in case everything else fails.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think that there's a, that's the big thing. This particular example where this, you know, this issue became very near and dear to my heart is that, air traffic control on this night, we were flying from, Santa Barbara to Denver, and, I think we're, you know, somewhere near Aspen, Colorado, holding over the mountains and things like that. And, the captain was having difficulty computing, bingo fuel, relying solely on dispatch, but then,
that certainly makes me feel good as a passenger.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
he was relying on dispatch. What?
Yeah.
Wait. No. The part about the captain having difficulty calculating how much fuel he has for a hold. But
yeah. Exactly. But no. It's kind of a difficult calculation.
If you had the first officer, that might have been okay. But the captain. Okay. Go ahead with your story.
Yeah. You got to know. It's a great exercise of knowing the regulations, your aircraft, and the legalities, and actually what. You know, and looking at your fuel and, seeing what you can actually do. I actually try to teach this while I'm, instructing instrument students to say, hey, okay, great, you've entered the hold. Okay. That's what's going to be tested on. That's what you're going to be tested on. But
yeah,
let's
how long can you do it?
Yeah, exactly. That's the easy part. Now let's try calculating how long we can hold for. Can we make it to our alternate? Can we make it to our destination? Do we have to change our alternate? And it's interesting, you know, every time I go out and bring this subject up, nobody has really any clue on it. It's tough, you know, it's kind of scary. Yeah. Or if they do try to give a good guess and everything, it's kind of the wrong guess. And, if the decisions kept adding up and the situation, you know, kept moving forward, I think they'd be in a very critical and, unsafe situation.
Yeah. And you can't be guessing when it comes to how much fuel you have left. You got to know for a fact, I can fly this long, and at that point, I need to be on the ground, period.
Exactly. You know, I hear this from general aviation pilots while flying, learning instruments, is that they say, oh, well, I'll never hold. You know, we never hold in GA. And,
you do.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually,
yeah.
What's funny is in my first instrument lesson, I did a hybrid approach. I started with a 10-day school, and then I decided to finish up more regular route, but more accelerated at that time. And on my very first day, I'm doing my first approach with my CFII. We were at, Madison. Was it Madison or James? I don't remember which one. He gave me a hold. And I just looked at the CFII next to me. I took both hands off the yoke and I said, your airplane.
Yeah.
I was worrying about basic attitude stuff, and here he's giving me a hold on my very first approach.
Nice.
Yeah.
It happens, and it happens when you don't expect it.
Yep, yeah, exactly. And the situation, the stress really starts adding up very, very quickly, and knowing your options and being able to develop your game plan is very important. You know, some VFR pilots, I teach this to VFR pilots too, and they say, well, I don't enter in holding patterns. I don't do this. I don't do that. I'm like, well, sure you do. Here's a good example. If you ever fly to Oshkosh, the airport closes of either, too much traffic or somebody has, an accident or they need to shut a runway down. There's actually a published VFR holding pattern in the NOTAMs around the lakes. And, just keep holding. But that's think about all the people flying into Oshkosh, and have to enter this VFR holding pattern and don't really understand what kind of fuel situation that they're in.
Well, there's also situations that happen. I'm sure they happen in Chicago, but I'm up here in Connecticut. I'm right outside of New York's big, confusing triple class B airspace. And what they'll do with general aviation pilots, VFR guys coming into places like Farmingdale, just over to the east of JFK, or even transitioning the airspace, is they'll direct them to one of those mandatory, you know, flagged items on the VFR sectional chart,
yeah.
Like the North Stacks. That's one of them. They'll say, report the North Stacks. And they want you to stay there. Just circle the North Stacks and stay put until we tell you otherwise.
Yeah.
That's a holding pattern. It's not officially a holding pattern, but that's exactly what they're doing to you, except you don't have the benefit of an EFC time where you know, oh, we're not even going to make that. Let's go someplace else.
Right.
Just don't be like that glider pilot that did that over the nuclear power plant recently. Did you read about that?
Goodness. Oh, my goodness. That was ridiculous.
Yeah. Did you hear about this?
No, I didn't hear about it.
He's just flying, and he lands, but he had gotten too low. I'm giving the quote signal here. And they arrested him. And it turned out the local law enforcement didn't know the rules. They thought, oh, people shouldn't be over nuclear power, so this must be a criminal. We have to throw him in jail. He did nothing wrong.
Wow.
According to AOPA, he violated no FAR, no law of any sort. He was perfectly legally in his right.
He got thrown in jail.
Wow. Yeah.
With a bunch of people in a cell, probably a lot smaller than the studio we're in.
They probably don't have leather chairs there either.
I suspect not.
Probably
I think the
not.
Only one they had is porcelain.
Yeah.
And it's got a little lever on it and a tank of water.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, that's a bummer for that. Yeah, that would ruin your day.
Well, yeah. And
yeah.
Boy. And I forget there was something about if he agrees not to sue, they won't charge him for, I don't know, there was some things that
yes.
as a follow-up, and as long as he didn't sue them, they would take care of everything. How nice of them.
Wow.
Exactly. That sounds like blackmail to me. It was, if you agree not to sue us, we will drop all the charges.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
What?
But there aren't any charges that should exist. I'd sue them.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, if that isn't an admission that you screwed up somewhere, I don't know what is, right?
Yeah.
That Come would be on. A, yeah, exactly.
That's what I call chutzpah.
Wow.
That chutzpah means nerve.
Yeah, you really got, that was like a deep H or something like that, like from the back of your throat.
Chutzpah?
Yeah.
Chutzpah. Meshugana. It's a chai.
Yeah, exactly.
How you doing?
There you go.
Okay. All right, but I digress. So,
nice.
Well, not to get off the subject, but I do digress.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of places I want to go, and we've already spent, gosh, a half an hour talking about just all this stuff. But you said something about wanting to get back into GA. Here you're kind of, and I don't know if I want to say living the dream, but, you know, Al Waterloo flew with the regionals, and now he flies corporate, but he loves being a CFI. There's mm-hmm. another gentleman in our hangar works for a flight organization, flight school, flight rental, flight management company, flew very short time for the regionals, came back, he wants to be a CFI. And now we hear you this, you're working for the regionals, but you right away wanted to not only stay with GA, but become active as a CFI in GA. What, is this something new? Because normally it's, you're a CFI to get to the airlines, at least in my day.
Sure.
It was, or when you retire from the airlines, then maybe you do some CFI stuff. Now I'm hearing three guys in their 20s. No, I want to be a CFI.
Being a CFI rocks.
Well, evidently. And we appreciate it as students. But I'm just, what, is this a trend or did I just happen to bump into three people that happen to be passionate about CFI? Dumb. Whatever.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'm kind of a funny story because I used to have my CFI. I foolishly let it lapse. So I got to take a check ride again if I want to get that back. But yeah, I know. But I actually don't have a single hour of dual given. But I did do a lot of ground instruction as the basic ground instructor certificate and instrument ground instructor certificate before I became a CFI. I also taught a lot as a math major at my college. So there's a lot of teaching involved. And there's something so thrilling, so exciting about talking about a subject you're passionate about to people who are brand new to it. You're introducing them and communicating some sort of a convoluted topic and seeing their eyes kind of click. You know, they got it, and you develop that skill with somebody. It's amazing. And anybody who likes that is always going to want to go back into some sort of a world, some sort of environment where they can teach and help others out, give back, if you will.
I'm going to make a phone call to the FAA to get your CFI back immediately, because that's like that's awesome. That's exactly in my opinion. You know, as you started saying that, I started like smiling up a storm over here.
Is that why it started raining?
Yeah. Yeah. No, seriously, because I think that's exactly what aviation needs. And you know, people, you know, not only are you talking about having, you know, making a convoluted topic simple to somebody, but also, in, you know, developing the excitement in the topic as well. That is such a huge responsibility of a flight instructor, that I think is so often, and critically overlooked. And it's kind of sad.
There are bigger issues, at stake here. It's the fact that the whole flight instructing world for primary instruction, private pilots and stuff, is turned completely upside down. Because who is it typically who is teaching the brand new private pilot, but a 500 hour or less brand new CFI who's got their sights on the next thing? They want to become maybe a regional FO or a charter pilot or something like that. And as soon as that opportunity opens, they're out of there.
Right.
You know? And there really isn't a lot of incentive to attract people like you and me back into the flight instructing world, financially, because it's just, I mean, you can't really make a good living as a regular flight instructor. It's just the way it is. So you're forced to stay outside of that world and do something else.
Yeah.
It's sad.
It is sad. And I think that's a huge problem. You know, this has struck like a pretty big chord with me here, just because it's a major problem. And, the skills of a professional pilot, in my opinion, are so highly sought after. That's what the general aviation community craves.
Yeah.
You know, they want to feel comfortable shooting an ILS down to 200 and a half. They want to be able to react to a IFR reroute, you know, and really have it be no sweat off their back, or have a holder, whatever it is, you know, that's the kind of, or fly VFR into a Class B airport. You know, it's a, I think that's a huge, you know, it's such a valuable skill set that the GA community is craving and is severely neglected.
I'm laughing because he said VFR into a Class Bravo airport. I remember we were flying back, or like at rush hour at O'Hare, 400 million airplanes landing, and Al calls up O'Hare. Yeah, can we land there and just do a touch and go or something? Unable. Who the heck are you?
Yeah.
I appreciate that you asked. I felt a little uncomfortable, but I shouldn't.
Yeah, you just gotta ask them, you know. Yeah,
they can't.
Was a 99.99% chance to say no, and they did.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The odds were with them.
The worst they'll do is say no.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And they did.
Yeah, but, yeah. Oh, it's pretty simple. You know, there's, actually I did that with going into JFK, in a Piper Arrow.
Oh yeah, how'd that go?
Oh, it was fun.
Yeah, but you knew the guy in the tower, right?
Well, still, but yeah, it was.
Oh yeah. Besides that.
Yeah. No, it was fun.
Besides that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play?
Yeah.
Right?
that's too soon. Too soon. No.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, I think that's you know, you have to, the GA community, you know, wants to do things like that, and you know, pro pilots have that skill set. And I think that the young guys, in aviation, or young guys and gals in aviation, that have it, they do a really good job of fueling that enthusiasm, you know, for
yeah, training. And then these aren't new, revelations, but certainly to your point you were making earlier, Pat, that people come into the CFI ranks and then aspire to get out. What we need are educators that teach, not people that want to be professional pilots, but
yeah,
you know, that's the way it is. And we could say even just our educators in public schools, maybe they need to make more money. Maybe it needs to change.
There needs to be some sort of incentive over there, you know, to pull people back. You know what would actually be really cool? Here's an idea, even in case the FAA is listening.
I know one FAA person that is.
Oh, well, maybe this could go somewhere. I don't know. But there are all the rules, the regulations, which are necessary, mind you, for the amount of time we can fly. You know, there's the 8-hour rule. There's the no more than 100 hours in a month, no more than 1,000 hours in a year. And for that reason, my airline and a number of other ones forbid any pilot to do any commercial flying outside of the company, right?
Oh, sure. That makes sense.
Because, yeah, let's say I went out there and started CFIing, well, then I put myself into a corner where I could exceed all those flight commercial flying rules. The problem is that prohibits people, like myself and others like me who really like to teach, want to do this sort of thing, have lots of free time, and might take on a student or two or just help out wherever we can. It seems like the rules are, yes, designed to protect us from being overworked by our companies, but it sort of is sabotaging the CFI world.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a pretty valid point because, you know, they have, this is something that really bothered me when I worked at the airlines. They say, well, we reserve the right to your 1,000 hours a year. And, it's like, well, hey, it's my license. I could really do whatever I want with it, you know? And, it is put a little sabotage or a little dampener on being able to provide those opportunities. So I wonder if, there's a way where you could, you know, it's kind of what you were alluding to, revamp that.
Yeah, kind of a workaround for Part 61 instructors only, you know, where you're just doing it for yourself. You're on your own terms, your own time.
Right.
Now, I will say, and I can't speak of others, but my company actually has something really cool in place that they're not doing right now, and that is a part-time line. We can actually, when circumstances allow, bid for a part-time line. So you get basically half a schedule, half your pay, but you are allowed to do flying outside the company, and that is cool.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
That would be a great, great gig to have.
It would be.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's really neat. You know, I think that's kind of, I applaud that actually because that's something creative and, you know, forward thinking. Not to keep in mind of, you know, all these, you know, airline pilots probably really want to do flight instruction. So let's create the opportunity for them to do that. But
yeah,
more or less,
at least some.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, you know, the company has probably its own reasons to develop that. But I think that's great that you know, guys like you can, you know, take advantage of that and creatively use it and to help aviation.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Hey, I think
it'd be great if that was more common.
Across
the board.
Well, we need new thinking in a lot of aspects, and you know, it's the old paradigm shift. There's a few that stand out. You had talked earlier, and I we're going down a great path, so please tell me if this is not where you want to go, Captain Waterloo, but we were talking about the Hold Here app, and I'm interested to know more about this app that Pat has built, and how do people get that? Because that sounds like something, you know, go back to these skills that we should have. If you have an app that helps us do it, how do we get a hold of that application?
Well, it's very easy. It's an iOS app. So in your iPad or your iPhone, just go straight into the App Store, type in Hold Here. You'll find it. It's my app. And it actually, it's kind of a cool app. I started working on it just because I wanted to write a bug out time calculator.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. Even just again, theoretically to practice and know how to do it.
Yeah, exactly. I started working on it because I recently switched my base. I was a Memphis-based guy. I almost never sat in a holding pattern, and then I became a JFK-based pilot. As you can imagine, going into JFK, you do a lot of holding patterns.
No kidding.
Just, yeah, no kidding. It's just part of your daily life. Yeah. It's great. you know, and these sort of things would come up, and I thought, you know, wouldn't it be cool to kind of share this with other people, make it easy to just kind of, I don't know, do the quick math and understand what's happening here. So I put together the bug out time calculator. That was actually really easy to do. And I thought, while I'm doing it, why not make a little holding pattern entry calculator too? Because that's, people really struggle with that. That's what drove me nuts with my instrument training is, you know, is it a teardrop entry? Is it parallel? How do you do that? So I added that feature, which took a long time.
Yeah. 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 That's it. I think that both of those, you know, I got to say, I use your app all the time while teaching instrument students. You know, mainly, you know, using both purposes. And I, one student that I had, you know, that was the thing that clicked with him, you know, and it's pretty cool to see that. And, you know, to quote him, this is a couple of months back. He's like, this guy's a genius. You know, so, that was,
I wouldn't go that far.
You're a smart man.
Yeah. I think it's pretty cool that you put something like that together and all that. I've got a question. What do your, you know, fellow coworkers and all that think about your app? Do you ever show them or use it while you're flying?
Not so much while I'm flying, because I've kind of, as you can imagine, I've kind of got this down to intuition. You know, I know what the fuel burn is going to be, and the airplane gives me lots of information, and I can honestly just eyeball the holding pattern and tell you what it is without even thinking about it. Not because I'm that good, but because I read something from Rod Machado, a great flying tip, and it stuck and it helped.
Yeah. So what was it? What was that tip?
It's actually, I think I wrote it on my website. I think it's on my holding patterns made easy. Hold on. Let me open this before I say it.
You know, while you're looking, you know, I thought it's just looking at the bottom of the Garmin 430 that says hold teardrop, hold parallel. It tells you.
Yeah, that's the easy way to do it. Yeah. Our FMS on the CRJ also tells you, but one of the things that I do personally is as I brief, an instrument approach, I always talk about the go around, what we're going to do, where we're going to stop, and what kind of entry. And I say that before I look at the FMS to make sure that the computer agrees with me. Cause sometimes it's wrong. I found it and I did write about this. It's funny how your mind goes. If you go to aviationchatter.com, on the right hand side, it's popular. One of my most popular posts is holding pattern entries made easy. And it's based on a tip I read by flight instructor Rod Machado. And the idea is to just forget all the stuff, forget all these numbers and things like that, and just look at where your airplane is going to be after it passes the fix.
Yeah.
If you're going to be inside the loop of the holding pattern after passing the fix, it's a teardrop entry. If the airplane's outside of the hold, then it is a parallel entry. And if it's going in the same general direction as the holding pattern, just make it direct.
And this is what I learned, and it's the same thing. The person I learned it from got it from Rod. Did it say anything about NDB top. So you draw an oval.
Uh-huh.
And then to what Pat was just talking about, and you draw your line, it doesn't have to be the exact 70 degrees. And then if you're flight plan, and you have the nose, you have the body, and then you have outside. So if your flight plan takes you into the nose, that's N, and the one after that is D, NDB top, ND, nose direct,
yeah,
body teardrop, outside parallel.
Yeah.
NDB top, yep. And it's that's how I do it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that
works for me.
I remember you were out there and,
yeah, I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, we were out on the ramp. I was working through these holding problems and, you know, I would use the cracks on the ramp is like little, the intersection of the cracks is that VOR.
I had to fight off the police here because we had two adults with their arms stretched out like wings running around the ramp of the third busiest airport in the state of Illinois. Like they're airplanes. I mean, you could have done it without putting the wings out, but I think that's what scared everybody.
Yeah. Well, that was a citation awesome. Actually pulled up in like on the spot that we were doing all this stuff.
Spread them. Yeah. Get on the floor.
Get down. No, but that was you came out and talked about that. That was cool.
Yeah.
You want to talk about teaching holding pattern entries. I saw one flight instructor doing the coolest thing. What he did is he went out there and got some chalk and he made like actual fixes and stuff on a piece of pavement, and there's north and south and east and west.
Nice.
And he had people drive the golf cart. Like the student would drive the golf cart.
Like I love plane. It.
I'm not even kidding. Like you'd actually drive the golf cart straight to the NDB fix or whatever it's going to be, and you would drive your entry. And, you know, it's the same kind of muscle memory you're building for the airplane, but you're not paying
I like that a lot. Did you have to put your arms out, though, make them look like wings?
It'd be hard to drive the steering wheel then.
That's true, unless you have a co-pilot.
That's true.
Auto.
No, but I thought it was awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool, because that makes perfect sense. You're moving, and you're moving at a speed that's going to ask you to think.
I'm looking up used golf carts on eBay right now. That's
that'll
a great,
help.
Yeah, that's a great tip.
Yeah, okay. Also makes a very memorable lesson.
Oh, very much so.
It's kind of like the guy that went to the nuclear power plant in the glider. You guys could touch your
stories. He'll never forget it.
Yeah.
So I have to ask you, being the author of the Sunday Night Chuckle, so many of the jokes I know make a lot of fun about first officers. How is that? I'm not going to do one now. I respect you too much. Well, at least for the next 10 minutes. But then but I'm wondering, what is it like to be a first officer and to be the brunt of all those jokes? You know, how do you know when your flight's done, the engines and the first officer stop whining? You know, stuff like that. What does it feel like to be the brunt of most of the aviation jokes out there?
Well, you're the near Al.
Well, you're the current first officer. He isn't anymore. I don't know where it came from, actually, but I do a lot of research on humor and all that, and it's just funny how many. I won't say
so
all
there's,
of them.
There's a whole thing about, you know, what's the difference between a duck and a co-pilot?
The duck knows how to fly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's,
so why does that happen?
It's all below the belt stuff. You
exactly.
Know?
Like, why does that happen?
It's a cheap shot.
It's just classic hazing, you know.
Yeah, I guess so.
Exactly. Classic hazing and,
I don't think it's appropriate, but, oh well.
yeah, exactly.
Especially when the captain doesn't know how to calculate bingo fuel and my first officer just saved my butt.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's usually the case.
Yeah, but
I actually saw somebody, presumably an FO complaining about the placement of the trash bag. In any airline cockpit, probably in the charter cockpits too, there's a trash bag. We bring a trash bag up to the front because we generate lots of trash. Pilots are trashy people. And, the trash bag in every airplane I've ever jumpsuited on, everything, it's always hanging on the first officer's armrest.
Yes.
Never the captain's armrest.
That's exactly. Yeah. I never thought about that.
That's for the cap because it's more convenient to the captain.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think that's exact. I remember plenty of times getting out of the plane and it was stuffed full of whatever
revisions.
It is. Yeah, revisions and chart releases and some Chinese food from the LaGuardia Airport that was half eaten and just spilling all this, you know, the thing, you know, your foot would get caught on it and it would just rip the bag open and
soy sauce everywhere.
Been there many a time.
Yeah, soy sauce problems.
So what's next for aviation chatter? I mean, we've talked about, the things you've done to get the professional skills for the private pilot and all of that. So what's next?
That's a really good question. Maybe a new article would be a really good place to start. I've got one on the drawing board about coming up with climb strategies. It's all based upon a recent experience with icing. I just did what I normally do. I knew I was going to hit a layer of ice. I decided to keep my speed up and shallow the climb. And as soon as we started building the ice, I turned it into a zoom climb and popped out of the layer. Voila. Very little ice on the airframe. So yeah, I'm working on that. But there's also another thing. You'll notice I sound fairly good. I got all this studio equipment going on over here. I've actually been drafted into doing some internet TV radio stuff with some old friends in the video game sector.
Nice.
I might do a very small show. I don't want to tackle anything like what you guys are doing or what Airplane Geeks are doing, because you've got this down. You're doing an amazing job. But I want to figure out some different short format and maybe add some sort of an audio, maybe even a video segment to the show, and that's still under construction.
You can help us. We did a little Google Plus Hangout and have done some video this year.
That would be fun.
But we'd like to do even more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That sounds like a good time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What about your career? You know, so maybe that's your online stuff and all. Is regionals for you for the long haul? You're thinking back about the CFI thing? What's the plan, if you can tell us?
That's a really tough question right now, because everything is up in the air. I won't say the name of the company, but you can probably figure it out. My company is actually in bankruptcy, and things are going backwards very quickly. So I honestly don't know what the future holds, but it's pretty grim as it is right now. So I'm actually working really hard finding alternatives, preferably in the charter sector, general aviation, near me in the Connecticut and Eastern New York sort of area. And, you know, if something looks good there, hey, man, you know, I might just jump over that route.
Well, we wish you the best of luck on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, that's
we'll see.
Yeah. I think that there's some great, great opportunities out there. And, you know, with a good attitude, you know, which you certainly have, and a lot of creativity, you know, something like that will come out of the woodwork very, very quickly.
I think Al can hire you onto his King Air gig, right? Oh no, maybe not. He's not the hiring manager.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah.
Oh, I love King Airs. I miss them. I used to fly, I've got very few. I got like 20 hours in a very old 1960s King Air.
Nice.
We called it Jerry the Geriatric King Air.
Jerry. I'm flying Jerry.
Yeah.
It was always a thrill to fly Jerry.
I bet.
Yeah.
Was it a C-90 or what did they have back then?
Yeah. Yeah. it was a C-90. We actually had a Queen Air in the hangar, but yeah, I don't think we ever got it flying.
Use the seats as repair gear for the C-90.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or as a classroom to learn holds.
There you go. That's right.
Yeah.
You drive it, taxi it around on the ramp and hit the chalk marks.
Yeah, that's perfect. Well, yeah. Pat, you know, it's been outstanding having you on the show. There was actually a tweet that came in and said that you have a great radio voice. So, you know,
yeah, and let me quote. It says, "Damn, great radio voice."
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you know what you're doing with Aviation Chatter is definitely cool, very unique, and I really like you know how you've got the professional tips for the private pilot, and you know that there's so much value that can be contributed towards general aviation in that respect. And you know, I from what I can see, it's absolutely craving it. So keep up the great work with that. It's a lot of fun to see and watch.
Yeah. So let me add my thanks, and let's remind everyone we've been talking to Pat Flanagan of the website already. Help me out here.
AviationChatter.com.
It is AviationChatter.com. And then Hold Here, the app. Actually, the app didn't show up when I looked at it for iPhone, but it did for iPad, right? I don't know why it didn't.
Double-check that. Make sure my stuff's set right.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. There's always pilot error here when I'm doing it, so.
Yeah,
I don't
know. I've got it on both.
Okay.
I've got my iPhone.
I sit here corrected. I normally say stand corrected. But anyway, Pat, thanks so much for spending some time with us this evening. I know it's getting kind of late out in the East Coast, and let's stay in touch and wish you all the best.
Absolutely. Al, Mark, thank you.
You bet. All right. Bye-bye. So that was really cool. I think that
he had a better voice than we do. That's we got to change equipment here.
Yeah. Exactly. So
how about now?
Oh no, we're doing really good. I love that bad CFI voice.
Oops.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hello down there. Yeah, no, that's, but that's really cool. Why we do this radio show, and you run into so many enthusiastic people about, aviation and, you know, the people finding their way that they can add value and contribute to swing, I don't know, to make something great that's already great even better.
Yeah, and I think the thing that I'm leaving with is, and I don't know why I didn't think of it before, but when he talked about being a first officer but missing and wanting to stay close to GA and his CFI roots, and then again, as I said earlier, you did that, and then Joe from the organization down the hall from us, so I can say their name, it's Fly There.
Yeah.
All three have kind of said, okay, flying the regional is good, but there's something about teaching people to fly that's pretty rewarding.
Oh, it's incredibly rewarding and help people achieve their aviation dreams.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
So, it is local time, 9:30.
9:30.
I don't know if we have a station ID or not. if we don't.
Yeah.
As that hint,
awkward,
hint.
Awkward silence.
Yeah, yeah.
Awkward silence. Not awkward silence.
You're listening to Simple Flight Aviation Radio with Al Waterloo and Mark Heppner on www.simpleflight.net.
Amazing.
Yeah.
How did I know that was coming?
Wow, that you just queued it up.
All right.
I was waiting for the clock to tick over to 9:30. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's 9:31. 21:31, I should say.
Yeah, we pushed back late.
All right. Hangar talk time, right?
Yes.
What am I holding?
You're holding some keys.
Some keys? Do you see keys here? She just said it's one. How do you say that's keys? Where do you see the S on that word? I'm holding a key.
If you write it out on a pit and you put an S at the end of it, yeah. Okay, yeah, there's a key.
What do you think this key is to?
It looks like an airplane.
It is, yes, it's for an airplane. Are you going to take a picture of it?
I am going to take a picture.
I should take my glasses off.
Just so my people can say that I stood corrected. I'll try posting that on
all right, there you go. So that key is to a beautiful, oh my goodness, I got to remember the year. I think it's 1974, V-35B.
Nice.
And I'm so proud that I was given my own personal key, even though I'm 0.4 shy of the insurance requirement to get the checkout. But I am 0.4 away, hopefully, from getting transitioned into that airplane.
Yeah.
And, I'm, you know, it's exciting. I have flown an F-33 before. Never flown a Baron. But this, I don't know, maybe I don't remember the F-33, but it's such a nose low when you're in level flight, even at lower power settings. And it's just a great view. The thing just slides through the air. I get my Cirrus-like speeds with a smaller engine and lower fuel flow. Actually, a similar fuel flow, you know, but an old metal airplane with rivets and everything, although the gear's up.
Yeah.
It's just a great flying airplane. I love it, and I'm excited to take it on first family trip.
Yeah. Well, that sounds good. You know, I kind of want to talk about that, but we need to get to something first.
Oh, sure.
Somebody.
Hey, I'm just along for the ride. Tell me where we're going.
an old Simple Flight guest from last year. It was the Aviation Access Project.
I remember those guys.
Yeah, I remember. It was fun.
Yeah, and, they all had fun.
Yeah, it was a great time. So anyway, they had a they were down in Sebring, Florida, and had some pretty cool and interesting updates to share with us. And
oh, cool.
They asked if they could call in and mm-hmm. spend a few minutes talking about them.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's something that I've thought about. You and I have talked to some amazing people, and we've stayed in touch with some of them, but we haven't stayed with everyone, and everyone has busy lives and all that. So I think it's great if we can get an update on something that a former guest was building. You know, I want to get an update on Open Airplane, actually, because I heard they're making progress, the people that are going to make rentals like a car rental.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Make a car rental just as easy, or an airplane rental just as easy as a car rental. But one of the cool things is that about this, you know, the Aviation Access Project, they were down in Florida, and they were posting some really cool pictures on Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah, wow. All right. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, there he is.
There he is. It's Len. Len from the Aviation Access Project. How you doing?
Pretty good, Mark. Pretty good, Al. How you guys doing?
Great. Oh. Can you hear us okay?
Excellent. Very good.
And you as well. So Al's commenting here. I don't know if you were listening, but you guys have an update for us after being on the air, gosh, I don't even know, a couple months ago. A month or two, yeah. So that's great. We'd love to get an update. What's going on with your program?
Oh, man, I guess the easier question is what's not going on?
All right. What's not going on with you?
What's not happening?
Well, we had our big rollout at Sebring at the U.S. Sport Aviation Expo in Sebring, Florida. Great show. Marginal weather, but they broke some attendance records anyway. This was sort of our first opportunity to really, you know, roll out our program to the flying public and the wannabe flying public.
And by the way, I'm going to interrupt you and just ask that you remind our audience about the program and give a quick little basic introduction to it.
Yeah, I can do that. I did that about, probably 100 times at Sebring a couple weeks ago, so I think I got it down. Aviation Access Project is a program designed to get, to basically lower the barriers to access to general aviation through fractional ownership and management of light sport aircraft. And our goal is to get more people owning airplanes by providing a means for them to share ownership with a bunch of co-owners, but we take care of all the hassles and administrative stuff, and the owners just get to fly their airplanes. And the idea is to, you know, lower the cost dramatically and reduce the hassles also dramatically, while instilling hopefully a sense of community at all the airports where we operate at. We're really big into the idea of the passion of general aviation, the passion of flying, and building the pilot community, all the stuff you guys were talking about at the beginning of your show tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's really neat that you guys are trying to extract the value out of light sport aircraft in a kind of a cool, new, innovative way, which, you know, I don't think that's been kind of a lackluster, it's not lackluster. It's the value of light sport aircraft hasn't really been realized yet, and you guys are going after it, which is really cool.
Exactly. That's exactly what we think. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So what happened down in Sebring? You had your big rollout.
Yeah, we had our big rollout. I got to say, probably for me personally, the most exciting part was I got to meet Patty Wagstaff.
Cool.
She performed a night air show one evening, and it was absolutely fantastic. And we met her in the hotel lobby the next morning. So that was a neat time. But we did a lot of press. We had a press conference. We did a couple of forums. We partnered with the Burstell folks at our joint big display, and we just talked to lots and lots of people. And we found out that everyone seems to be in love with that aircraft, I think for good reason. And so many people are excited to hear about what we're doing that we now have over 50 different locations where people are interested in starting up flight centers.
Wow.
Got groups of guys who came down and say, you know, we're ready to buy. We're looking for an airplane for our club. And, you know, how can you guys help us out? So it was just overwhelmingly positive. I just loved it.
Yeah, it sounds it. That's great, great news.
Yeah, that sounds like it was a lot of fun. So how many people were down there in, you know, at Sebring and all that, I'm sure sounds like the reaction was just like outstandingly tremendous.
Outstanding. I love that.
Yeah.
Outstandingly tremendous, or as opposed to tremendously outstanding.
Yeah.
they told us there was, between 16 and 20,000 people there.
Wow.
That's terrific. I'm mad that I wasn't there.
It was great. The weather was, it was 39 degrees that first morning, Friday morning, when we first got there to open up the tent, but it warmed up a little over the weekend and the rain held off most of the time. Didn't really seem to deter too many people.
Excellent.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, that sounds like it's a pretty cool event. I saw your, the Aviation Access website is now up too, which is, looks great.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we're up and running, and we also just started a blog, and man, every kind of social media account out there we've got. So we're moving forward. bits and pieces at a time. Rick's not here with me tonight because he's actually in Georgia doing a site visit for a flight center. We've actually also gotten some interest from the investing front, so we might actually have a little money to do this coming up real soon. And it looks like our first airplanes are going to be going in, of course, in all places, Florida.
So many people
from the show, obviously, were at Florida. And we've got multiple locations with multiple pilots who want to get started. And believe it or not, another place that came up a few times was the Chicagoland area. So you might be seeing us up by you guys real soon.
You better let us know when you get here.
Absolutely.
You know, you should look at Arizona as well, because all the conversations I have, and lots of people have been contacting us about help starting clubs and all, and there was a gentleman called me from Arizona talking about a need for a light sport. He said there's none down here, and we have a lot of retired people and maybe need to get with, you know, the light sport or sport pilot certificate. And so he said anything you can help us do to get a light sport club going down here would be appreciated.
We got a call from a guy, Albuquerque, saying pretty much the exact same thing. Yeah, so
maybe that was the guy. Oh no, Albuquerque isn't in Arizona, so never mind.
Wrong one.
Yeah. Whoops.
Whoops.
Geography cramp.
Yeah.
Cramp.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, then that sounds like it's things are starting to really cook up at the Aviation Access Project, and
that's exciting. See all the progress. We've seen so many people starting things at a grassroots level and planting seeds, and now to see something start to grow, that's really exciting, man.
Exactly. I mean, it's there's several of us out there with these ideas, and you bringing us on your show so we can talk to everyone about them is fantastic. Pat, who was on just before me, I mean, he's got a great idea and he's doing a great thing with his website. And, you know, you just can tell people have so much energy and passion they want to put into general aviation. And, you know, that's just what part of what makes it such a great place to be.
We violently agree, as I like to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Len, for the update. That's please keep us posted on new updates and everything. I think that you guys are in a really exciting time, and it's just neat to be able to share that with you.
Sure thing, guys. Keep up the great work, and we'll be talking to you soon.
All right,
sounds great. Thanks.
Thanks, Len.
Take care.
All right. Bye bye.
Well, gosh, this has just been a day of positive. I think I won't say we've turned the corner, because I don't know that there was a corner to turn. But do you feel the momentum?
Yeah, it's starting to really kind of like.
Yeah, it's
kick
not
off.
Like all of a sudden it's starting, but the momentum's starting to build. We had momentum,
right?
And we with the flying clubs, 50 people, 40 people, whatever it was yesterday in Janesville, then to hear from Len about Aviation Access Project, and then what Pat Flanagan's doing. I mean, just everyone's bubbling over with the energy and enthusiasm based on results.
Right.
Right. This isn't just in somebody's head. This stuff is really happening.
No, absolutely. It's really cool. And, I want to go back to our scholarship. You know, that's all part of it too.
Yes.
You know, just to be able to, share the enthusiasm and really, you know, see this stuff bubble over.
Well, and with the scholarship, it's our belief that this has never been done before. And I know, you know, never say never and never say always or whatever those sayings are.
Yeah.
But all these scholarships we've seen have always been about the individual. So to actually have one that's about building a sustainable engine for growing the pilot population, that's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's really quite an exciting time.
Yeah. Can I go back to my camera?
Yes. You're waving that like I feel like a barracuda where you're just like shining this thing in like a
go for it.
So yeah, let's go back to that.
So I flew in the morning to Janesville.
Uh-huh.
Juliet Victor Lima. I always like to use the airport identifiers because so many of our listeners aren't from the Midwest. And you know what? I had a great morning, and then I came back and I started walking around 1 o'clock. I realized, hey, I'd set up for this lesson with the CFI, to transition. I was going to count this as an IPC transition and my BFR.
Yeah.
Right? And so we went up, and it, actually we were a little late because I wanted to get some lunch, and next thing I know it's 1:30, and I said, man, I got to get 3.3 or 3.4 hours in. And then the line crew was busy. We didn't get out till after 2 o'clock. And so I was 0.4 short. But the thing was, on our way back from just doing a lot of approaches as the IPC part of this,
yeah,
we landed at Lake in the Hills, 3 Charlie Kilo, to get fuel. Because fuel's like $3 a gallon cheaper than it is at here.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I got to be careful how I say that. But and then we taxied out to runway 26, and as I'm facing toward the east, and this was, I don't know, late afternoon, so it's probably 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
There was still, maybe it was 4:30, but so it's still kind of a blue-gray sky as the sun was starting to set behind us. And there was just above the horizon the biggest full moon I ever saw, just up and to the left, based on my parallax, off the runway.
Really?
Yeah. So then, another bonanza turns final approach for 2-6.
Holy okay? cow.
And then he turns on his landing light. And so I have this moon, and then just next to the moon is the most beautiful picture of a bonanza with his landing light on us. So a big ball, and then this little ball of light. The wings there, and my camera, my phone is in my pocket, and I could not, I was paralyzed by the emotion. I hate to get so like girly.
You're getting
on
all 1-6 right on me right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was, no one, I can never describe, and probably the picture wouldn't have done it justice, but what I saw, no one else has ever seen except the guy sitting next to me, and we both just, our jaws dropped.
Yeah.
And said, that is the most awesome view we have ever seen in aviation.
Right.
So I'm just like, oh my God, what a day. What a day. What a weekend. Right. So thank you for letting me emote.
Yes. I love it. You know, that's, it's, capturing aviation images with words.
I just wish if I grabbed that, maybe it would have been as good, but I just was paralyzed. Like, I can't take my eyes off this. It's going to go away in just a second because everything was moving. You know, we were moving out there. The plane was coming in for landing. The moon is descending. It's getting darker. It was the absolute perfect time for that.
Oh, that sounds. Yeah.
So I shared.
Yeah, it sounds really beautiful. I think that it's cool to get to experience that. I'm always trying to take photos of flying and things like that. It's just neat to share them with people and all that. But sometimes it's just kind of nice to not have your camera out. You know, and just enjoy it.
And I appreciate you saying that because I was feeling bad about not getting the picture. But then you said that to me earlier. And I said, you know, you're kind of right. I hope everyone has an aviation moment like that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a nice feeling, you know, because I'm always trying to grab the pictures. And then, you know what, it's nice to every once in a while just sit back and enjoy it. So.
Hey, you know what else happened this week? I got something in the mail today. It was a Facebook.
Today's Sunday. There's no mail.
In the email. There's mail every day. I'm the old guy. You're the young guy. You know that.
Hold on. Yeah. Well, what do you? You got it over here. That was when you tossed it. It was like you. I was laughing uncontrollably, and then you tossed the papers. You know,
right.
And
no, okay. Hey, don't give in. That I like was looking through papers now. So, Dan Coyne, right?
Uh-huh.
Yep. Yeah. I got that. Yeah. I blanked out. A little senior moment.
Coyne.
He is a member of Cap City.
Right? Yes.
Cap City Flies, Madison, Wisconsin, and been very active in communicating with us and brawling the flying clubs together, and we thank him for that. But he sent me something today. They're going to have a Wisconsin Airport Challenge. And we've talked a little bit about doing, like you were on the competitive team at the University of Illinois,
yeah.
And we said, look, we should do that for flying clubs.
Yeah.
But these guys have absolutely and actually done something about it. And here's the objective.
Cool.
A self-directed invitation to pilots aiming to have fun flying by getting general aviation pilots to visit as many designated Wisconsin airports as possible. So get in an airplane, fly to as many airports, have proof, take pictures and all that, and they get recognition of fame, bragging rights, self-satisfaction. You know, they're going to have Google Map and with pin drops for airports visited. They're just going to have a lot of fun with them. That's the bottom line. And asked if we wanted to get involved. And I think it is such a great idea that I want to. I don't know. Maybe we extend the radius so that the Illinois pilots don't have to travel as far, you know, using just Wisconsin. But
yeah, well, you know, I think that that's such a cool challenge. You know, yeah. You could, I'm trying to wrap my brain around what we can do to have a, you know, how you can make this into a cool, like, online social experience. Take pictures, post them to Spark Reel, or take videos, post them to Spark Reel, or take pictures, and I don't know, maybe we can use an Instagram app or something.
Well,
like
I'm thinking like a Cloud Ahoy, that what they use, and I have to look, they have to use, I'm sorry, club tracking be done with Google Maps. Google Drive will have a spreadsheet to track individual airport landings. One person from each club will be given access to Google Maps for updating airports earned by club pilots. But there was, I thought there was another app that they mentioned, and maybe that was it. But I was thinking about Cloud Ahoy. You know, I'll let you, because you're our technological genius, and you can figure out what's the best app. But let's put it together, and if we can get involved with their challenge, fine. We can create our own or somehow create some kind of competitive spirit that promotes general aviation.
Illinois versus Wisconsin, first one to get to all the airports wins.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll figure out the rules, but something that's good fun, that promotes general aviation, that satisfies this affliction and passion that we all have.
Yeah.
I think would be a very good thing, and I'm looking forward to working with Dan and you to put that together.
Yeah.
You've been volunteered. You're on all the
right.
team.
Yeah. Yes. It's the last time. It's the first time I wasn't picked last to be on a team.
Actually, you were last.
Oh,
just
bummer.
Three out of three, but that's okay. It's only three. But I can't think of a better person than you to be on it.
Well, thank you. It should be a lot of fun. I know that they mentioned that and they brought it up, and it was actually quite a cool concept. And the one thing that I remember hearing is the sense of pride that these guys had of trying to get to all the airports in Wisconsin. And, yeah. You know, how much it actually means a lot to them to do that and to be able to get out and interact with aviation in their home state.
You know, when I was actually driving here tonight, someone was talking about golf on sports radio I was listening to. And they said these golfers that have the affliction think about golfing 24/7.
Yeah.
It's no different than aviation. And I'm no different than you, no different than Dan, than Sam up at Winnebago, than Adam over at AOPA. We share this thing. That's what, again, makes us the community. And you know what? It's okay. This puts passion in our life at, it's just a wonderful thing.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It was fun on a Twitter is actually blowing up right now. People are saying, love this idea, need to expand the challenge to the Midwest, not just Illinois and Wisconsin and all that. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it is. And again, maybe we can, who knows where we can take it, maybe include an angel flight with it and help somebody else while we're doing it or something. I don't know. There's a lot of different ways to go, but I just love the energy and the positive momentum that's coming out of it because, again, as we said not but an hour ago, that's kind of the plan and that's kind of the goal.
Yeah.
We need to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
People are dependent on us.
Yes! Let's do it.
All right. So I can't believe we're like 6 minutes until our approach for landing here.
Ooh, descent checklist, please.
Yeah, exactly. Bingo.
Yeah.
So, as I always like to do, what's going on next week?
Well, next week should be kind of a cool week. I'm actually heading up to Duluth to do CSIP training.
Cirrus Standardized Instruction Program.
Exactly. Up in the Duluth Cirrus Aircraft Factory, and
it's pretty good training.
Yeah.
Not pretty good. It's great training. I've been through it. It's a nice very detailed and structured course to make sure you know how to fly the airplane safely and have fun with it.
Right, right. Well, I think it's good. I'm actually looking forward to it and thinking that it's a, you know, there's a lot of pride in that program and all that. And, you know, I think that's kind of the way, I think a lot of these aircraft manufacturers are going to be going, you know, for training in their aircraft.
Well, actually, it's interesting. Here I'm talked about me transitioning in the Bonanza and mentioned Fly There, the organization where the plane is actually housed. And Jason Unger, who's the owner and chief pilot, and he's one doing the transition. I'm very impressed with the thoroughness of what all the things I'm having to go through. It's not just, oh, you're a private pilot. Let me show you how to raise the landing gear and do this and all that. No, let's do this emergency. Let's do this emergency. Let's try the steep spiral. I mean, it's just stall and every bit of a configuration. All of a sudden I rotate off the ground at Janesville and he says, okay, you've just lost oil pressure and, you know, get it back in. And after with flaps and all that, what kind of trim setting did you have?
Yeah.
You know, just like, oh my goodness. So I've really appreciated the thoroughness, and you'll see that in the CSIP training as well.
Yeah. That's good stuff. I'm looking forward to it. So what's on your plate?
Well, I'm heading on the airlines to Vegas tomorrow for a business show.
What airline? More importantly, what seat?
Well, I'm 11D right now, but I do have my first class upgrade in there.
Wow. Woo! Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't fly with the airlines so much anymore, so I used to fly a lot with American and United, and actually haven't flown much in the last 10 years, but I still have probably close to 2 million miles on American, so.
Wow.
Yeah, it's somewhere between 1 and 2. But anyway, I've got all this mileage pickup, so when I fly, I usually ask for a first class upgrade.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's not bad at all. So you're gonna be flying on, American. What do you think? Do you know what kind of airplane it is?
Nah, I don't. I know when I go to like San Jose, it's an MD-80. I wish they'd give us a little bit more, but we'll see. I don't know. It's Las Vegas. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's going
to
be fun.
And I'll be there on Wednesday and then come back. And then Thursday night, got a board meeting for the – if all you board members listening, we have board meeting Thursday night.
Yep.
I'll get the email announcement out of that. And then I hope to get in the Bonanza, finish the checkout. And then Saturday, we've got our flying club meeting. If anyone wants to stop by with Bob Chins on Saturday morning, we're going to have our monthly breakfast meeting.
Yeah.
And then hopefully fly in the afternoon. I might also go to Kansas City next weekend.
Hey, that sounds like a good trip.
Yeah, I want to see my son. So he says, you never come out here, and today's freezing rain kept me from there today, so I hope to go next weekend.
Yeah. Well, I hope you make it out there. That's going to be a fun trip.
Yeah. And then Sunday we have Simple Flight Radio, and who's that? Do you know our guest? Do I catch you off guard? Fumbling through papers.
Yeah, no, actually, our next week's guest is Amelia Earhart out in Denver.
It is next week.
Yeah, it is.
All right.
And she's working on a flight to fly around the world, and she's got a pretty popular aviation themed blog called flywithamelia.com. And so it's going to be pretty pretty fun talking with her.
I'm excited, as I am with all of our guests, but you know, obviously, just even with the name, it generates a lot of emotion and historical perspective of aviation, and she is a distant relative of the Amelia Earhart.
Yep, exactly.
And she does like helicopter traffic or something like that, doesn't the weather?
I believe she's a weather and traffic reporter out in Denver.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
that's cool. So there's absolutely. And she has an SR-22 that she's going to be making this round the world trip in, or something.
Something like that.
Yeah. Well, I guess people just have to listen in to find out what she's doing with what and when.
Exactly. Well, that's going to be a good show. And down the road, we have some other great shows coming up as well. We got John and Martha King coming
in February also.
Yeah, actually, that's in March.
Is it March? Okay.
Yeah. And then we're going to have the CEO of Surf Airlines coming on. We have Steve Shapiro, who is a writer for the AOPA. He's going to be coming on talking about the commemorative Air Force. Mm-hmm. It's actually a pretty cool program. He was telling me about it, and it's really neat.
Oh, that's great too.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and on 2 weeks from now, we're going to have Leading Edge's own Mr. Rob Mark from the Airplane Geeks podcast coming on.
Oh, cool. And of Jetwine.
And Jetwine, exactly.
Yeah, so, wow, that'll be good. And then we don't have to worry about connections. He'll be here.
Yeah.
He'll be live with the guests. I mean, not live, of course. They
no
all are.
Technical difficulties. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Does he know how to use a microphone? I think so.
Oh, man. Yeah. We'll have to. I'm sure he's okay. So. But, yeah, so it's going to be, a lot of fun on, Sunday nights in the upcoming weeks here.
Yeah, as they all are. And I, think you did a great job leading us tonight, Al. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Joker in Command.
JIC, huh?
Yeah.
I could say something, but it will take us on another conversation.
Oh,
I think I'll leave that one alone.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks. Good. Well, anyway, everybody, unfortunately, it is that time of night. It's the saddest part of the week.
It is.
10 p.m.
Yeah, but we appreciate, and we have a growing population of listeners, not only live, but certainly through iTunes or coming to archives at simpleflight.net, and iTunes is a podcast. And we were looking at a little map, and we're international again tonight on the live, which is great.
Yeah, it's awesome. There's somebody down. Hello to the person in Brazil listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
That is great.
So,
very good.
Anyway, everybody have a great week. Hopefully, you have very strong tailwinds. It's that time of the year. And
of course, blue skies.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
You're listening to Simple Flight Aviation Radio with Al Waterloo and Mark Eppner on www.simpleflight.net.
Simple Flight Radio, ready for takeoff.
What do you think about flying? Is it a sport? A business? Is it easy or difficult? Is it boring or exciting? Alan Waterloo and Mark Eppner think it may be any of those things, but they like to make it simple. This is Simple Flight Radio, where Mark and Al talk about the many aspects of aviation and the amazing people doing amazing things to make this world a better place.